three stories, three family stories, stories of our Unitarian Universalist family. These stories are our liberal theology. These stories are the hope for liberation that our faith may bring. Here are three Unitarian Universalist persons: a professor at a Midwestern university, a social worker by profession, and a specialist in public policy and organizing; a musician who is also an at-home dad and a court translator and an intercultural international tour guide; a church custodian with a family divided between the United States and back home. The professor taught me something I never caught before. She was a busy person. She had a very good job, although she had a longer commute than I would have found easy, something between an hour and 90 minutes each way. This was very different from my experience, both in college and in graduate school, where all of the faculty lived within walking distance of the university or the graduate school. They could just walk to work. But instead, she was commuting, and to ensure that she could have the life she wanted to live, including being a great mom to her two boys, this professor hired a cleaning lady to help her keep her house clean. This is something many in this room are able to do. Heck, I have a living helper to manage my home and life. But this professor did something I had never heard of. She made sure that she could give her cleaning lady 2 weeks paid vacation every summer. This professor understood that her domestic help was working as part of the informal economy. She was paid on a week-by-week basis. According to the work that she did, she earned no benefits. I don't believe the professor withheld taxes or paid employer taxes. It was left up to the cleaning lady to deal with what it meant to be a self-employed person. But even in the informal economy, the ethics of this Unitarian Universalist professor were such that she personally set aside the vacation benefit, and she encouraged other clients of her cleaning lady to do so too, so that it would be possible for a cleaning lady to take vacation just like any worker and their family should. The musician had become the president of his Unitarian Universalist congregation. He helped his church run a coffee house that supported the efforts of solidarity organizations in the United States who were trying to overcome the war policy of our country against the nations of Central America. This man drew no salary from this work, but he did become a specialist in sound systems for coffee houses and for congregations and for rallies. And for that, he would receive a contractor's fee. He is also bilingual and is hired on a case-by-case basis to interpret proceedings in the courthouses of Suffolk County in Massachusetts. As a highly skilled contractor working for the state, he receives his check for the hours that he puts in, but without any of the benefits a state employee might expect. He also runs tours to Central America, and it can invite you to meet the communities in resistance in Guatemala who, 35 years ago, moved out of their towns during the 35-year civil war in Guatemala, and who then have been moving home and reestablishing themselves after the war was over. He can introduce you to the coffee cooperatives with whom he has a relationship, and the women's weaving cooperative, and then in El Salvador with Women's Sewing Cooperative that makes items out of the Guatemalan fabric. amount of trade he engages in is just what can be carried in a couple of duffel bags when he's doing his intercultural touring. On the side, he might sell you a few of his CDs. This kind of work is what we call the informal economy. And the informal economy and economic justice in the informal economy is what the Unitarian Universal Service Committee, Justice Sunday, is examining this year. When we look at it, it says that every contemporary economy consists of three layers. The most visible is the formal sector, in which people are employed in jobs that are measured as part of the labor force, and businesses are subject to some sort of regulation and taxation and governmental oversight. The second layer, the most obscure, invisible layer, is the underground economy, which consists largely of illegal activities such as the drug trade, prostitution, where prostitution is illegal, human trafficking, money laundering. But the third layer, the informal economy, is different. This is the layer in which workers and entrepreneurial enterprises base their exchange in cash or barter, where they thus avoid regulation, taxation, and worker protections, and where their work or trade exists as needed, as self-employed other persons who provide commodities and labor without creating the permanent institutions that would be part of the formal economy. Often, public opinion and policymakers conflate the informal economy with the underground economy, leading to the criminalization of informal economic activities. This can result in informal workers facing a wide array of human rights violations for trying to earn a living. This issue is critical, as the informal economy includes millions of people around the globe, and is observed and studied in many of the large cities in the developing world. Informal sector workers can also constitute a significant portion of the agricultural workers in the global south and the global south immigrants who have moved into the agricultural sector in the developed world. It's important to note that though the informal economy in this country is small in proportion to our total economy, the informal economy of the United States is the largest informal economy in the world. How would our lives be different if all informal work disappeared? What would it mean if no, for example, high school students could babysit? What would it mean if no children could work in their family businesses? What would it mean if every person who cut your grass were made your employee, who we needed to insure, to pay employer taxes on, to provide benefits for? What if there were no neighborhood kids washing cars, no cousins who braided hair or put in weave, no street musicians living off what's pitched into the guitar cases or an occasional CD sale? How do we depend on the informal economy every day of our lives? I said that the informal economy is often performed on an as-needed basis. What this means is that when an economy is in transition, for example, when a reliable source of income like a steel plant or truck and automobile factory or a sale manufacturing company in another age closes down, there will be people who need to find a way to make a living until the market or the government drives the creation of a new economic engine. So people's creativity gets unleashed in the environment. informal activity, in the informal economy, all kinds of efforts at making a living. For many entrepreneurs, this initial stage, once it is successful, grows the capacity to become part of the formal sector. Think about the high-tech companies that were born in somebody's garage. It begins to be more than just the entrepreneur and her family, and begins to employ others. It moves beyond singing for your supper and gets to a place where it does not barter anymore, but operates on cash, and may even grow to be considered creditworthy in the formal sector banks. But along the way, there are great stresses on those who are in the informal economy. Lack of documentation may mean the inability to get a license to drive legally. Lack of regulation may expose informal sector workers to dangerous working conditions, unfair hiring practices, outright wage theft. When a day laborer does not have an advocate with a small-time employer who may simply choose to hire from in front of a different Home Depot this day, lack of payment to the social security system may make retirement impossible. In this country, there are many organizations with whom we work who pay attention to the informal sector workers. This congregation has hired day laborers for any number of tasks, and we usually work with Casa de Nero as our primary source. Casa provides help for day laborers, from providing employer ID cards to having employers like us sign a letter of agreement, not with them, but with Casa, about the promises we make about wages we will pay, to having classes to teach people English, and providing legal representation for workers when there are problems. Well, this congregation has had several Jairam speak here at our church around the publication of the book many of us read, Behind the Kitchen Door. Saru's organization, Restaurant Opportunity Centers United, ROC United, defends the rights of kitchen workers, many of whom live in the informal economy as pot washers and after-hours cleaners, and are paid under the table. And in the mixed economy, where tipped workers have some governmental requirements and guarantees, but also receive tips that are not guaranteed and may not be taxed or counted toward one's retirement. It's important to note, though, that the informal economy in this country is small in proportion to our total economy, and yet it is the largest informal economy in the world. Now, beyond our country, the informal economy in other parts of the world, including in Africa and Kenya, Kenya Street, the Kenyan National Alliance of Street Vendors and Informal Traders. This partner of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee provides a collective voice for these informal workers so that they may be heard in government and the marketplace as people of promise and power. Kenya Street provides low-interest loans for these entrepreneurs, gives them training in bookkeeping and record keeping so that they may grow in their own power to advocate for themselves and to plan for a better future for their families. Your support of the Unitarian Universal Service Committee is one of the most important ways that our faith is able to speak in the larger world through partnerships that advance economic workers' rights and human dignity. Since the Universalists and Unitarians decided to be part of the hands-on reconstruction of war-torn Europe in the 1940s, we have been defending human rights throughout the world by our partnerships with local agencies that are fighting for the rights of women and girls, for workers, for the environment, and for the political freedom that we believe is part and parcel of being fully human. So I told you I'd share three stories, and I shared the social worker, I shared the story of the musician slash translator slash tour guide. But this is the most but it was certainly affected by Unitarian Universalism. Leonard Narrow was a church custodian. He worked for a Greek church half-time, and he also had other informal sector activities that kept him busy. He had a business partner in Santo Domingo who sold clothes on the street there that had been collected from church thrift stores in the United States. He made stained glass objects, vases and windows and even that man. He cooked for parties, and he cleaned classrooms late into the night at a local college. Leonel came from a large family where almost no married couple lived in the same country. One brother was a university-trained psychologist who was working as a cab driver in New Jersey and sending money home to Santo Domingo and his wife. One sister ought to have been a teacher back at home, but she was working in the United States as a domestic and sending back money to her husband, who was a trained engineer but was using his training to convert taxis from gasoline power to gas power back in Santo Domingo. And one couple that was still in the same country, the husband was running the family's subsistence farm in the center of the mountains of Hispaniola, while his wife kept the kids and the house in the capital. All of these families were dealing with terrific economic changes that were happening. Back home, the old agriculture was being converted to cash crop agriculture for the world market. The kind of money the family could get growing corn and beans and squash and Caribbean pears was nothing like what the coffee companies were getting as they bought up entire mountainsides and turned peasant farmers into seasonal workers on what had formerly been their own land. The economic base of the whole country was being driven down by globalization, and government cutbacks meant that a whole middle class of teachers and therapists and civil servants was cut adrift out on their own. And so families divided between those able to create their own jobs in the Dominican Republic, those able to get to Metro New York and find a few months under the table on a tourism visa, sometimes an expired visa staying a longer time. Leonel came to the United States for just a few months to try to raise a little bit of money to support his entrepreneurial glass work back at home. But along the way, thankfully for me, fell in love. Along the way, not so thankful, he got sick, very sick. And with great care, he was held by the congregation for whom he worked, and the congregation that was above him, beyond his marginality, beyond his informal economic associations, beyond his life, and into his death. Leonel, who was my husband, died 20 years ago this month. I can hardly believe it has been that long. It's still so real to me. And yet, when I see the lives of the CASA workers that we hire, when I talk with the men from Trinidad and Guerrero and Puerto who live in my house, when I work with CASA in Maryland to pass the Dream Act, and with Maryland working families to raise the minimum wage, and now, to extend to all workers the right to take time off if they are sick. When I think about what the UUSC does here and around the world, I cannot but think of Leonel, of his deep humanity and creativity, and my desire for his freedom. We walked together, just a brief walk, 20 years ago. But the journey continues as the work for human rights continues, and as we live as a congregation, and as we unite with others through our UU service committee. Hafiz told us, from a sacred crevice in your body, a bow rises each night and shoots your soul into God. Behold the beautiful one from the vantage point of love. The beautiful one is conducting the affairs of the whole universe in the tree house on a little in your heart. UUSC is working for me, for us, and with me and with us, from the beautiful vantage point of love, that our liberal faith might mean liberation for street vendors and informal traders in Kenya and beyond, and for the day laborers we hire, and for us, even for this congregation, that the treehouse on the limbs of our hearts might be a way station for justice and a creative playground for hearts.